I have had this in my heart for quite some time and haven't really seen how this fits in, and I think this morning I see exactly. But, you know, Pastor's been talking about living in the no-lack zone. He talked about how, he started off the first week talking about how it's definitely, without a doubt, God's will for his people to do better, his people to increase, his people to move forward, his people to never have lack. Y'all remember that? Those of you who were here, if you haven't been here, I highly recommend to you to get these tapes. This has really been a phenomenal series. And he talked to us about how the Lord is our shepherd, and he shepherds us and guides us, and the Holy Spirit, as we fellowship with him, he'll lead us and guide us into the no-lack zone. And he went on from week to week. Last week, he talked about the intimidation the enemy offers to us when we're, as we move towards the no-lack zone or live in the no-lack zone, that there's constant intimidation coming against us. And he talked about how we cannot be intimidated by the enemy. We have to stand up against fear. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. You remember that? A couple of weeks ago, he talked about the, you know, calling it like you want it, speaking the vision that you have for your life, speaking the no-lack zone into existence in your life. Just reminding you of some of the things he's talked about. And then the week before that, he talked about getting a vision, meditating on the Word until you could see on the inside the no-lack zone. Because if you don't see it on the inside, you're not going to live it on the outside. And he shared many, many things. Of course, in 6 weeks, you can do that. But, you know, in all of this teaching and everything that we've seen, I've realized this. I've realized that there are opportunities coming to you and me to move further into the no-lack zone, to experience more of the no-lack zone in our lives, to experience the no-lack zone in a way we never have. I mean, to really walk out of lack and to leave lack in the dust. We've moved forward, all of us that have been walking with God. I mean, you should have. If you've been walking with God any time, you should be increasing. You should be doing better. That's God's plan and His will for you. Isn't it? Is that God's will for you? That's God's will for you to do better, to move forward in life in whatever area of life it is. That's His plan and His will and His desire for you. But you know, in the area, particularly of your finances, in that area, there are catalysts that move you forward. In other words, where you are right now, the place you're at right now, you're going to stay at that place unless something happens to move you forward. You're going to be at the same level. When you go from one level to another, you go from one place to another, something happens. I mean, when you climb the stairs, you have to move your foot up to the next step. And in anything you're doing, if you're moving up, moving forward, there's something that pushes you ahead. And what I see for all of us, for you as individuals, for your neighbor, guy sitting next to you there in the chair, for us as a church, for all of us, there are opportunities ahead. Now, we've had many opportunities. Some of them we took advantage of, some we didn't. But I'm telling you, I don't believe that God would have our pastor preach on the no-lack zone and it just be some nice set of sermons that we can all go, oh, yeah, y'all remember when we put them posters up in the lobby and we had those little magnets on our refrigerator, wasn't that fun? No, it's not about that. It's about moving into and enjoying and living life in the no-lack zone so that we can be generous. Isn't that right? So there's opportunities coming that will enable you to be more generous, that will enable you to do those things that God's called you to do, to fulfill that vision that you're seeing on the inside of you, opportunities that'll just put you in the place to be able to do that. So this morning, I want to share with you some things that you need to know about opportunities, because the first thing you need to know is they're coming. They're coming. They're coming. Opportunities are coming. So there's some things you need to know because I don't want you to miss them. I don't want them to just pass on by and you tell all the people about that opportunity you once had. No, you heard about the guy with a $1 million lawnmower, didn't you? I'll just remind you real quickly about him. Guy with a $1 million lawnmower. A reporter was out doing some stories and he was in a small town down in Arkansas and he heard people on the street were saying, oh yeah, a guy in our town's got a $1 million lawnmower. They said, a $1 million lawnmower? What? This thing must fly. A $1 million lawnmower. It must have jet propulsion. What must it be? So he goes over, found out where the guy lived. He went over, and the guy was sitting out on his front porch, and he said to him, I heard that you have a $1 million lawnmower. And the guy said, oh, yeah, I got a $1 million lawnmower. And he said, can I see it? And the guy said, yeah, yep, come around back. I'll show you. So he goes around back, expecting to see like a big garage, hangar kind of a deal. What must it be? There's no outbuildings, there's nothing out there, and he's looking around, and there's an oak tree over there with kind of some tarp over something, and he says, there it is. And the reporter said, there it is? That wasn't what he was expecting. And so And so he goes over to it and he lifts up the tarp and he sees an old, rusted out, green John Deere lawnmower. He looked at the guy and said, This is a $1 million lawnmower? And the guy said, oh yeah. He said, you see, I was with Sam Walton when he first started Walmart. And I, you know, in the very first days, he, instead of giving us bonuses in cash, he'd give us bonus in stock. And he gave me his stock. He gave me stock in Walmart. And it was pretty nice, but you know, I got a hankering for a John Deere lawnmower. Went down to Sam's Hardware and I kept looking at it and it kept talking to me saying, take me home with you. So I cashed in my stock and I bought this lawnmower. If I hadn't done that, this stock would be worth over $1 million today. He missed his opportunity. I don't want you missing your opportunity. You don't want to miss it, do you? No, me neither. All right, let's get started here. First thing you need to know about opportunities is that opportunities must be seized by faith. They got to be laid hold of. You got to choose to do them. You know, the Bible says that God sets before us life and death, blessing and cursing. And I don't know about you, but I usually focus on the life and death part. But he also said blessing and cursing. And living in the no-lack zone is a blessing. And the opportunities that will propel us into that zone are blessings. But they're up to us to choose them. You have to choose them. You have to, when you see them coming along, you have to actively do something. Reach out and grab hold of them and make something of those opportunities that are coming. 1 Timothy 6:12 says that we fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Everything you receive from God, you have to lay hold of it by faith. You have to reach out and grab hold of it by faith. It doesn't just come in your life because it's God's will for you to have it. The Bible is very plain. It's God's will for every man to be saved. But yet not one of us were ever born again until we laid hold on it. We reached out and seized that opportunity to be saved. Isn't that right? Well, it's the same way if you're going to receive anything else from God. You're going to have to lay hold on it. When an opportunity comes from God to you, you're going to have to reach out and lay hold of it, and you're going to have to do it by faith. Why do you have to do it by faith? Because with any opportunity, there's always an element of risk involved. There's an element of risk. In this natural realm, there is no guarantee of anything. There's no guarantee that your house is going to be there when you get home. There's no guarantee you're going to be able to breathe your next breath. There's no guarantee in this natural realm. So we have to step out in this natural realm and do things, but we do them with our trust in God. We do things, we lay hold of opportunities in this natural realm. We seize them, but we do it as we trust in God. We have our faith in God. So opportunities must be seized, and they must be seized by faith. Anytime God sends you an opportunity, it will require you to walk in faith. It will be. Y'all remember last week Pastor quoted another minister, and he said, being faithful means you're stepping out and doing something that requires faith. To be faithful means you're stepping out and doing something that requires faith. And then an opportunity comes along, you're going to have to step out in faith to take hold of it. And there's going to be a risk because the natural circumstances can change. There is going to be a risk because you don't know for certain. There's no natural guarantee. The only thing you have that you can trust in is God, His Word. And there's no natural guarantee. So there's always going to be an element of risk in it. Now, there's a story I'm familiar with. I think it very much illustrates this point about seizing opportunities in faith. But some years ago, there were two churches in the southern part of Atlanta, two churches that were similar size, similar congregations. They were both pastored by young, very sharp black men, couples, pastors, dynamic preachers and teachers, both of them. And they were there in that part of the city, and they'd been in, you know, been growing about the same amount of time, and they were about the same size. And one of the churches was meeting in a Seventh-day Adventist church. You know, if you're going to meet in a temporary location, that's probably a good one to meet in because they meet on Saturdays. So they could, this congregation had the church on Sundays, and that's where they met. And they were doing well there, but they knew they needed their own church home. They needed a place that was theirs, their own. And they needed that so they could continue to grow and to meet the needs of the congregation. And it just so happens that there was a church there, not that far from them, but in a really wonderful location in an area where people were moving in. It was a thriving area. Things were popping, so to speak. It was a growing area. And there was a church that was there that wanted to move way out. So they were going to leave the community and move way out, and they wanted to sell their building. So this pastor that was having his services over at the Seventh-day Adventist Church went over to look at the building, and my goodness, did he ever love it. It was just perfect for him. It was a facility where they could just carry out the vision God had given them. It was a great thing, and the people in the church got excited about it, and they thought this would be great for us until they heard the price. They heard the price. When they heard the price, the pastor went, "Oh my God, I don't think we can do that. That's just committing too much. That's just too big, too much for us." And so he backed away from it. People in the church said, "Pastor, we can do this." And the pastor said, "You know, it's just going to be, it'll be my name on the line. If this thing doesn't come through, it's just too big a risk, and we're not going to do it." So they just stayed where they were. Well, meanwhile, the other church, they were meeting in a school cafeteria, same situation. They needed a building, needed a place to grow. And so several weeks later, this pastor heard about the same building, went over and took a look at it, got excited just like the first pastor did. Some of those people went and looked. They got excited, said, "You know, this is just what we need. This is an opportunity from God." And then they heard the price. And when they heard the price, you know what they said? "My God is able. My God shall supply our need. If this is what God has for us, He is well able to put us over in this." And so they stepped out and took a big step of faith, and they bought that building, put a mortgage on it. And there they were. And you know, at first things were kind of rocky for them. But they started to grow, and then they really started to grow, and then they grew and they grew and they grew. And 5 years later, that church had to go out a little bit from there and get a big tract of land, because they had to build the faith dome. Because this pastor was Creflo A. Dollar. Two men in the same situation. One was willing to take the risk to seize the opportunity. The other pastor didn't. What happened to him? Well, his church began to kind of erode, and it deteriorated, and people left. In fact, the people that had been coming to his church decided they wanted to follow a pastor who had great faith. So they went over and joined up with Creflo A. Dollar. And eventually that pastor, a lot of things happened in his church, happened in his own marriage, and he ended up leaving the ministry and went out and lived in Arizona. There was a point in time they were neck and neck, had the same opportunity. Well, you might be saying, "Well, Pastor Susie, that was God's plan for, you know, Pastor Dollar and World Changers, and it just wasn't God's plan for the other folks." You know, I don't know for sure you can say that. You know, I've heard Happy Caldwell say this. He said that God told him that he called three different men to do what he's doing. He pastors in Little Rock, Arkansas, a wonderful church there. And he said to Happy, "I've called three different men to do what I'm calling you to do, but none of them would do it." I believe that there have been other people God's called in our city to do what we're doing. And for one reason or another, it hadn't been done. We're not the first kids up at bat here. There's been others up at bat before. But it comes to a point where there's an opportunity that you have to seize. And sometimes, well, every time, it's going to be a risk there. And you're going to have to step out in faith to seize an opportunity. If it's like that for a church, I can guarantee it's going to be like that for you in your life. Hallelujah. Now, to seize means to take possession of suddenly, to take possession of by force or attack or strike. Why do you have to take possession of an opportunity suddenly? That brings me to my next thing you need to know about opportunities. Opportunities are a limited time offer. Opportunities operate in a window of time. There's a beginning and there's an end. Now, do you know when the end is? No, every opportunity has a different ending time. But there is coming an end to that opportunity at some point. You don't always know the expiration date. It's not always printed on the package. Sometimes it is, but oftentimes it isn't. So you have to, you know, the old cliche, strike while the iron is hot. You have to do that. You have to take advantage of the opportunity while it's there. Now, Ecclesiastes 3 tells us that to everything there's a season, there's a time and a purpose for everything under heaven. And God does things by seasons, and He does things in time. And He'll bring to you these opportunities. He'll bring them to you for a season. And if you don't seize them while the season's good, they'll move on. Now, does that mean you can never take advantage? You know, that's it. The plan of God's over. You missed it. No, if you're faithful to God and you'll cry out to Him and you'll say, "Oh God, I see I messed up there," He'll bring it back around to you. He'll bring something back to you. But I tell you, there's nothing like just capitalizing on the opportunity that God's bringing your way. Now, to open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll read a couple of scriptures here. There's opportunities coming to you, and I don't want you to miss them. I want you to be able to take advantage of them so you can move forward in that no-lack zone, so you can live like God designed for you to live, so you can have an abundance for every good work. Be generous. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. I'm just going to read them in the Amplified Bible. It says it this way: look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and the witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. Boy, I wish Christians lived as wise, intelligent people. That is a heart cry of a pastor. Father, help my people live as wise, intelligent people. Help them make good decisions. Help them know when the risk is too great, that they're out into total foolishness and it's not faith at all. Help them to know. Wise, intelligent people. Making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Making the most of the time and buying up each opportunity, taking advantage of the opportunities that come our way because the day is evil. How often does a really great opportunity come your way? I don't know, but we live in an evil day. The Message Bible says it this way: so watch your step, use your head. Sometimes people think that if you're going to walk by faith and live by faith, you don't use your head, you know. We're spirit-led, Pastor Susie. You've taught us that. We just live from the inside out. You know, God went through a whole lot of trouble to give you a brain. And you need to take full advantage of that brain and use it. Now, do you let your brain keep you from following God? No. But use your head. Be wise and intelligent, people. He says, watch your step, use your head, make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. And I believe he was talking about any time, he's talking about this time. This is a desperate time. We need to make the most of every opportunity that comes our way. Praise God. Now, another thing that you need to know about opportunities is this. Opportunities often come when conditions aren't perfect. Have you been waiting for perfect conditions before you can step out in faith? You've been waiting for the stars to get aligned and everything just to be just right, and then we'll step out? I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to happen. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says in the New Living Bible, it says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. Now, I can testify of that. How about you? I mean, when's the perfect time to have a baby? I've had four and I hadn't found it yet. You know, somebody came to me some time ago and a lady, and she said, you know, I'm thinking about having a baby. She said, but my husband wants to have a baby, and I know we want to have another child, but there's so many things going on right now. Just the conditions aren't right. And I said, well, tell me about the conditions. Well, we need a bigger house. And, you know, and it'd really be good if my husband was making more money. And she went on to list, you know, her conditions. And you know what I said? I said, thank God he gave us 9 months to get ready. Because things aren't ever going to be right. And so 2 months later, she came and said, guess what? We're having a baby. Conditions hadn't changed, but she decided to take the risk to step out. 9 months later, the baby came. Now, the baby's here, wonderful baby. She comes and tells me, you know what? This baby's changed my life. This baby has been such a blessing to me. I'm so glad we had this child. Then I talked to her later. Guess what? God gave them a bigger house. Guess what? God gave them a promotion in the job. God gave them more money. Once she stepped out in faith, started believing God, yeah, we're going to have this baby and God will make a way, the conditions changed. So you can't wait for everything to get all lined up before you step out. It's not going to happen. It just doesn't happen that way. I know when we started the church, you know, I guess we talk about this a lot, but I'm telling you, it was a big risk in my life. Somebody told me the other day after they heard Pastor talk about how he got married in the $34 suit he bought from we didn't get married in the suit, the rehearsal dinner in the $34 suit he bought from the ORU bookstore and all the trials and tribulations he was going through when I married him. They were saying, you know, I never realized what a woman of faith you are. I thought, I tell you who really had faith. I was blinded by love. My parents are the ones who really had faith. But anyway, that was a big risk, and it paid off. When we started the church, the conditions in some ways were the worst they ever could have been possibly for us to start the church. I was pregnant with our third child, And I was homeschooling my other two, and I was working. And Pastor was working. He had just taken a position up above Johnston, about 40 miles from our home. It took him 45 minutes each way, hour and a half on the road. And he was working about 55 hours a week at that job. So the demands of our time were just tremendous before we were going to start a church. And then, not only that, we didn't have any formal ministry training. We weren't ordained. We had no clue who would ordain us. The ministry friends that we had were all discouraging us. They were. They were saying, you probably don't want to do this. You know, we didn't have a lot of support in that way. And then we didn't have any money except for the down payment on our house that we were in the process of having the blueprints finalized and the contractor was getting ready to start building. We had bought the lot, had the blueprints, we were just about to start building. And we had the money for that house. That's all the money we had. It was taking everything we had to get going with that. And that's where we were. And God said, well, you do have that money. Oh, yeah. So we called that off and started a church. I think it's been worth it. It's a good risk. It's paid off. I tell you what, I live in a lot better house than I was about to build. God, He will honor you when you step out in faith at His opportunity. He will. Hallelujah. Now, here's something else you need to know about opportunities. Some people don't know this. This might be a real shocker for you. Opportunities wear funny clothes. They do. Thomas Edison said it this way. He said, the reason that many people miss opportunities is because they come wearing overalls and they look like work. That's why a lot of people miss opportunities. They don't think they're going to look quite like that. They think if it's an opportunity, my goodness, it's going to smell good. It's going to be easy. Oh, I'm just going to have to, you know, just do very little, put forth very little effort, and God's just going to bless me. He's going to just bless me. That isn't what the Bible teaches. Where do we get these notions? I think they're from fantasies that we create in our own thinking. Fantasies. I tell you, Tuesday morning, we were having prayer in here, and we were praying about all kinds of things, and the next thing I know, I am praying. I hear myself praying, no more fantasies, no more fantasies. I'm like, what? What is that? And I realized a lot of people, their ideas about God, their ideas about the Word, their ideas about walking with God are nothing but fantasy. I don't know about you, but if I want fantasy, I know where Disney is. I can go there and get plenty of fantasy. But I'm not interested in fantasy when it comes to the Word of God. I'm interested in the reality of God's Word. I'm interested in what I can count on, what I can bank on, not some fantasy. And then we have to make up all this gibberish and all these little cute sayings to explain all the fantasy because it doesn't work and amount to anything. But I'm telling you, opportunities that come from God will require effort on your part. Effort on your part. And I'm going to tell you this, if you're going to prosper financially, it's going to require effort on your part. My Bible says the guy that doesn't work, he ought not be pulling himself up to the table to eat. It's not fantasy. Not fantasy. It's work to take advantage of the opportunities that God sends your way. So let's just look at that. I want to spend a little time on this because I think this is a notion people have. Over in Psalms, well, the first Psalm, we'll look at it. Psalm 1, talking about the blessed man, the righteous man. Just read verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, if the Bible says that whatever you do shall prosper, and you don't ever do anything, are you going to prosper? No. It's what you do that God causes to increase. God prospers. God blesses. If you'll read through Deuteronomy 28 and you'll read the blessings of Abraham, the blessings that were on that old covenant that we're heirs to, we're heirs of the blessings. If you'll read through those, you'll see that all through there, those are things that we're blessed while we're doing. We're blessed as we go in. We're blessed as we come out. We're blessed in our storehouse. We're blessed in our basket. We're blessed in the kneading bowl. We're blessed while we're going about our lives being productive for the kingdom of God. You could say it this way. You're blessed on your way to work, and you're blessed when you come home. And you'll be blessed all day long while you're working. And you'll be blessed when you come home and do your work there. You'll be blessed as you do, as you work. Now, do we earn our salvation by our works? No. We could never work our way into salvation. Are you kidding me? But God blesses us and prospers us as we work with Him, taking advantages of opportunities He gives us. Turn over to Joshua chapter 1. Pastor read this a few weeks ago. Now, I'm going to just say this as you're turning over. There's some of the best opportunities that you'll have to move forward into the no-lack zone, to move further into no-lack zone, to enjoy more in the no-lack zone. Some of the best opportunities that you're going to have to do that are going to require you to labor. There are going to be opportunities that will come to you as you labor, particularly in your vocation, particularly in the areas you're skilled in, particularly in the areas where you've been prepared and been trained. God will bless you in those areas. He will cause what you do to prosper. So, see, these opportunities that come, they won't be the same opportunities for each person because each of us do different things. We move in different ways. If you're in sales, see, if you're a salesperson, you're selling something, God will send you opportunities. Like He'll send you customers. He may move you into a job where you have something better to sell. He may, you know, work with you and change the commission structure in some way, may help you get bonuses. There'll be things He'll do for you in that area. But see, if you're a nurse, it's not going to help you to get more commission because nurses don't work on commission, as far as I know. I'm not a nurse, but I don't think they do. But He'll bless you in other ways. He'll move you forward in other ways. There'll be different opportunities that come your way. Some of these opportunities that are coming down the pike, so to speak, for some of you, it's to launch out in your own business. But there'll be opportunities from God. They won't be just you being restless where you are. It won't be you being mad at your boss and being unwilling to submit to authority, and so, by Jove, I can do this better than they can. No, it'll be a God opportunity. Better make sure that's what it is before you step out. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do or see how to do according to all that is written in it. For then, as you meditate in the Word, as you start seeing from the Word how to do what the Word says to do, you don't come to church and just hear a sweet little message and say, oh, wasn't that nice? Wasn't he just gracious today? Wasn't he just so anointed today? And then go home and live your life. If you're doing that, then I'm going to tell you, you're going to miss every opportunity. Because see, what we're doing here is we're giving you the know-how so that you're going to need next week when the opportunity presents itself on the job. You're going to know how to reach out in faith and take hold of it. Because you have to know how to live by faith. We're teaching and training you to be led by the Spirit because you're going to have to be led by the Spirit to take advantage of these opportunities. See, so what we're doing in here today has everything to do with what you're going to be doing this week and next week and the week after when you're on the job, when you're out in the community, when you're working, when you're at school, all the things that you do in your life, this is about that. They're very much interrelated. You do understand that, don't you? All right, for in it, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, when you observe and you see how to do according to what the Word says, as you learn those principles and begin to apply them in your life, what will happen is you will make your way prosperous. You will make your way prosperous. See, we're waiting on God. God, bless me. Just pour it out. Bless me, Lord. But He said that if you'll get in my Word and meditate in it and see how I do things and you start doing things my way, you'll start making your own way prosperous. Well, that sounds like some work might be involved, doesn't it? If you're going to be making your own way prosperous. You've heard about people making their way in life. Well, you'll be making your way, but it'll be a prosperous way. You'll make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Not the kind of success the world has, that fleeting but for a moment success, but no, good success, the kind that lasts, the kind that's stable, the kind that increases and builds and carries on to the next generation. That comes as you get in the Word and see how God does things, meditate on it, and then see how you can do things the way He does things. If you'll do that, then you'll make your way prosperous. and then you'll have good success. But you're not going to make your way prosperous if you don't ever do anything. If your notion in life is, if I can just get on disability. Some people, that's their big notion in life. If I can just get, well, then I'll be hit the big time if I can get on disability. No, you're looking to do. And if you're on disability, thank God that somebody's helping you out in your time of need. But the goal is to get off disability and to get over into God's ways of doing things so you can make your way prosperous with His help, with His blessing upon you. That's the plan of God for you. There's going to have to be some effort on your part. You may have to work longer hours. Well, now, Pastor Susie, that's not what I'm believing. Well, you might have to. I'm just telling you. You might have to work longer hours than you're currently working. Well, that's not good news. I'm just telling you. You might have to drive a greater distance. I mean, a man in our church, Steve and Pat Smith, are not here this morning. But Steve had an opportunity, but it involved him driving all the way to Columbia and back every day. Well, that must not be from God. Hey, it was from God. It's been a great opportunity for him, but it required him to do more than what he was doing. And I'm going to tell you, I know this. These opportunities are going to require more of you. We're looking for, you know, Fat Cat City. I tell you, you better get up out of your lounge chair. And you better put your boots on because there's some work to be done. And I don't just mean spiritual work. I mean some real work to be done. You may have to travel some. You may have to take some classes. You may need to go back to school. You may need to do some more learning and more preparing for the things that God has ahead for you. You might have to actually do something that you consider beneath you for a season. Because opportunities sometimes require you to do those things. That's the truth. When we started the church, I mean, we were all chief toilet cleaners. I mean, we were doing all kinds of things. I'm picking up cigarette butts out of the yard out there. I never even touched a cigarette in my life, and I'm out there picking up people's discarded cigarette butts. That was beneath me, I thought. But hey, it was part of my opportunity. So what will you do for yours? I don't know. It's going to require something of you, though. Hallelujah. You know, I've told the story several times about the situation my parents were in back in the 1960s. And they were in need of $10,000. They needed $10,000. And they were going to have to sell their house to get it if they couldn't get it any other way. They needed it. And God gave them an opportunity. He gave them an idea of something to do. But you know what? In that opportunity, there was a whole lot of work to be done. They had to work and work and work like they had never worked before. And they had to make sacrifices within the family in order to get the job done. But you know what? They seized the opportunity, they took hold of it, and they did the work, and God blessed them with the $10,000 and far above that. But there was a lot of work involved. Now see, if they were of the mindset a lot of Christians are, they'd be like, well, that can't be God, because I just asked God to bless me, so, you know, somebody's going to mail it to me, or I'm going to find it, you know, down by the creek bed, or all the notions that we have. Some weeks ago on a Wednesday night, last family night, I preached a message called A Million Ways. Y'all remember that? The gist of the message was God has at least a million ways to meet your need. He has at least a million ways to get to you. And we just talked about all kinds of ways He could. But I'm going to tell you, the main way God will bless you is in blessing what you put your hand to do. That's a fact, Jack. It is. Okay. Now, one more scripture on this. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Because this is so important. I want you to hear this and see this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. You could read it this way. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, so that you can live in the no-lack zone and be a great blessing and be generous. But He says here, He'll give you the power to get wealth. That word power could be translated ability. It could be translated capacity, force, or strength. He gives you the ability to get wealth. Now, the difference between God giving you the power to get wealth and God giving you wealth is this. I could walk up to you and hand you a big wad of cash. I would be giving you, so to speak, wealth. Or I could walk up to you and give you title deed to a really plum piece of land, a bag of seed, and all the equipment that you need to farm that land. You know what I just did? And give you a tutor to get you through the process. If I did that for you, I just gave you the power to get wealth. And that's what God's done for us. He hasn't just given us wealth. He's given us the power to get wealth. He's given us the ability to get wealth. He's given us the equipment we need. He's given us seed to sow. But even in the natural sense, He will empower you, whatever you're putting your hand to do, He will empower you to get wealth. He's not just funneling money to you. He's given you ability, capacity, a force within you that will enable you to get wealth. Now, it must not be a sin to get wealth if that's what God's empowering us to do, huh? All right. The opportunities there are the field, the seed, and the equipment. That's what opportunities are. Okay, another thing you need to know about opportunities. Opportunities are shadowed by adversity. You know what that means? The whole time I've been up here this morning, there's been a shadow following me everywhere I go. And sometimes there are several, many of them. Like right now, I see four right now. Opportunities are shadowed by adversities. Did you know that? I wanted to stand up and scream that last Sunday when Pastor was preaching about fear and intimidation. The reason we can't give in to intimidation is because there's going to be another giant right behind that giant. Now, turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians 16. You'll never get anywhere if you give up at the first sign of adversity. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and this is the Apostle Paul writing. If there was a man who knew adversity, it was the Apostle Paul. But if there was a man who overcame adversity, it was the Apostle Paul. God gave him great opportunities. I mean, he stood before King Agrippa and gave his testimony. God gave him awesome opportunities. But with those opportunities came great adversities. You'll see that. He says this in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. For a great and effective door has opened to me. A door of opportunity. For a great and an effective door of opportunity is opened to me. And there are many adversaries. Amplified says it this way. For a wide door of opportunity for effectual service has opened to me. There's a great and promising one. And there are many adversaries. See, most Christians, they just be cheering. Oh, there's a great door of opportunity opening for me. That's like God's bringing me all these awesome opportunities. But then when they hear this part, that opportunities are always shadowed by adversities, then they're like, oh, well, I don't want them then. I'm just happy where I am. Is that how you are? Or do you want to take advantage of the opportunity and overcome the adversity? Because there's going to be adversity. There's kind of, a fantasy notion that if we follow God and are led by the Spirit, that there's never going to be trouble. If God leads us to do something and we step out, it's just going to be a smooth way. There's just going to be little chocolates on our pillow every night because the Holy Spirit's just making everything so smooth. That's a bunch of bunk. You know, all hell breaking loose is a lot closer to the truth. Because the devil is not going to just sit idly by and let you take advantage of these great God-given opportunities in your life. He's going to throw up some resistance. Some of you hadn't been here on Wednesday nights, but I've been talking about devils and demons. And there was one thing that we all learned about devils and demons. What was that big thing we all have to know about devils and demons? Anybody remember? Every devil, every demon, every force of the enemy that you will ever encounter has already been utterly defeated. But that doesn't stop them from trying. It doesn't stop them from getting in your face. It doesn't stop them from rising up against you. But you've been fully empowered by Jesus Christ to overcome. But there will be adversities, many adversities, he said. Many adversities. Because when you conquer one, there's going to be another. You get rid of one, there'll be another. And there'll be another. They'll keep coming. But every one of them's already been utterly defeated. You know, King David, before he became king, he was a shepherd boy. And then Samuel comes out and prophesies, oh, you're going to be king. Well, you would think, if this is the will of God, then he would have been king like, you know, 36 hours later, right? Great coronation ceremony. There was a long period of time between Samuel saying, he's the one, he'll be the king, and David actually being crowned the king. And in between, David faced a giant called Goliath. We heard about that last week. But you know, Goliath wasn't the last giant David faced. He faced the present king, Saul. I mean, he was on the run, persecuted by Saul. And then he had to fight the whole Philistine armies again. And then at one point, he was so persecuted by Saul that he actually joined up with the Philistines. I'm telling you, he went through it. He went through it. But he finally became king. There was a great door of opportunity. You can go in this land with the grapes or huge pomegranates, land flowing with milk and honey. I mean, I don't even know what that means, but it sounds real good, doesn't it? It's like a religious phrase, but it sounds good. I bet it was whole milk, too, not any of that watered-down stuff we all been drinking. Good land, but you know what? There were giants there. There were big people. There were fortified, strong cities, one after another after another. When you defeat the sons of Anak, then there were the Amalekites, and you'd defeat them, and there'd be some other guys. I mean, they were constantly facing adversities. But God enabled them to overcome the adversity and to take advantage of the opportunity, to enjoy the fruit of the opportunity. You know, we've been building the radio station. It's what we're doing, even though we're not building a building, we're building a station, constructing. We have a construction permit to build a station, and we've been working on it, particularly Gary. He's been eating and breathing and sleeping this WRMK thing, getting it on the air. And Friday afternoon, I walked by Gary in the office, and Gary's on the phone. And I saw Gary's jaw go on the phone. So I waited until he was off the phone, and he was in here, and I came and said, Gary, what's going on? And there were some people doing some work for us, and they had told us the price, and we've already paid them $1,500 to do this work. Gary's on the phone, and the people said, we need $6,000 because that's not what we were supposed to pay them, nowhere near what we were supposed to pay them. I mean, it was just like you could just feel him trying to gouge you, you know, through the phone. So Gary gets off the phone, and he's a little, I have to tell you, he was a little shook up. And I said, Gary, pastor's not here, and I'm busy, so have at it. This is your faith project. Well, it had all been Gary's faith project anyway. He knew it was on his plate anyway. So Gary calls me several hours later. He said, you know what? We have a great opportunity here. He said, here we are. We've stepped out to do this, start the station, and this is some adversity that's come up. But you know what? This whole thing's about to turn around for our good. I see here where what we had originally thought we wanted to do and weren't able to do, we're going to be able to do that. And it's going to even be for our good, and it's not going to cost anywhere near like what they're wanting to charge us. So Gary was all excited. I'm telling you, there will be adversities that will come up to you whenever you're doing what God has given you the opportunity to do. But stay with Him. Stay with the Holy Ghost. Don't panic. Get last week's tape and listen to it. And, you know, look for what I have heard called advertunities. Those are opportunities that come out of adversity. Because, you know, in every opportunity there is adversity. But I'm going to tell you this, in every adversity there's an opportunity. It is. There's always an opportunity in adversity. And that's what Gary was finding. He found an advertunity. I'll tell you right now, there's some people up on Wall Street that are finding advertunities. There's some people that are buying while everybody else is selling. And those people will amass great fortunes, the ones that know what they're doing. I'm not telling you to go out and buy in the market. I don't know. I'm not telling you to do that. But there are people who will do that. Great opportunities. I mean, great fortunes have been made at times when others are panicking. Now, we're going to get to our last one here. Opportunities give birth to opportunities. That's why it's really important to get it right, to take advantage of the opportunities that come your way. Now, I'm not going to read them, but y'all remember over in Genesis 41 and 42, the story of a man named Joseph. Y'all remember Joseph? Joseph went through some hard times. But Joseph was in prison, and he had an opportunity to interpret the dreams of some of the other prisoners. He didn't have to. Nobody was paying him to. It wasn't doing him any good to do it, but it was an opportunity. And he took advantage of the opportunity, and he interpreted the dreams. But that opportunity gave birth to another opportunity, because one of those men, the chief butler of Pharaoh, ended up back in Pharaoh's court.
And when Pharaoh had a dream that needed interpreting and none of his wise men could interpret it, that butler spoke up and said, hey, there's a guy down in the prison that can interpret this dream. It gave birth to another opportunity. So he went up and he interpreted Pharaoh's opportunity. He could have spit on Pharaoh's floor and said, who are you to me? You got me in jail. But he didn't. He did Pharaoh a favor. Guess what Pharaoh did? He promoted him to be ruler of the kingdom. He set him, really gave him another opportunity to carry out 7 years of planning for famine. And he oversaw the whole thing. Well, that gave birth to another opportunity, because 7 years later when the famine hit, guess who comes to town looking for food? All his brothers. Another opportunity to save his family from famine. One opportunity gave birth to another opportunity, which gave birth to another opportunity. Now, about 15 years ago, I was here in Augusta, and I graduated from high school, and I went to Augusta State. Well, it was Augusta College then. And then I had an opportunity to go to ORU, to Oral Roberts University out in Tulsa. And I took that opportunity. And that opportunity gave birth to another opportunity, because I met my husband there. And we know what all that's given birth to. I mean, opportunity after opportunity. And so you don't want to miss your opportunities. I think sometimes, what if I had never gone to ORU? That was just an opportunity I had. Thank God I took that opportunity. Thank God. There are opportunities coming to you. God has opportunities coming down the pike for you. And if you'll seize hold of these opportunities, even though there's going to be great adversity, but don't sweat the adversity. Just get last week's tape and find out what to do when the adversity comes. Just stand up against it. Just overcome it. And just, you know, in the next one, overcome it. And there'll be another opportunity for you. And you'll take advantage of it. You'll seize hold of it in faith. You'll step out. And there'll be adversity. But you'll work through that too. And I tell you, you'll be moving forward. You'll be moving ahead. And you, one day you'll turn around and look back and think, wow, look at all the opportunities my God has given me and where they have brought me. I used to just dream about living here. And now it's a reality. It's a reality. It's not just a dream. It's not a fantasy. It's a reality for those who will step forward and seize their opportunities.